There are two ways that we can pursue humility. How many of you really, truly, maybe as a result of this study, maybe you'd already made this decision before, but you want to cultivate humility in your life? Amen? This is something so worthy of going after. I loved what Joshua said, man. I mean, I just wanted to fall to my knees and just start worshiping God again, just right there, because that is so true. It is the atmosphere of our life that will invite and evoke the very presence of God like nothing else. When we have an atmosphere about us of humility, and you know what I mean by an atmosphere, I'm talking about the atmosphere of your own heart, your own mindset. When you have an atmosphere of humility, when your mindset is one of humility, God, there is a scripture, I wish I could remember the address right now, but it says that the gaze of the Lord is on the humble. The gaze of the Lord is on the humble. When he sees a humble one, he stares at them. He is impressed with humility. He loves humility. And you know what he does with when he sees pride? It's ugly to him, and he resists it. It says God literally puts up a military front against pride. So in the beginning, one of my earlier studies, what I had said was there are two ways, if we want to cultivate humility, there's two principal ways. I don't know if these are the only ways, but there's two principal ways in which we can cultivate humility in our lives, directly and indirectly. The first being directly, the second indirectly, right? So directly, what I mean by that is we actually begin to study humility so that we understand what it is, because there are all kinds of ideas about what humility is, but we don't want the world's definition, we want God's. God's definition is the only definition there is. God alone is the giver of truth. He says what things are. He's the one that gives definitions. And so we want to know what his definition is of something. Man comes up with all kinds of different definitions for what love is, humility is, and everything else. But most of the time, it's really quite off from the truth. That's why Jesus comes and he speaks the truth. And then people's hearts are pierced as they recognize, wow, that is true. It cuts right through all the funkiness that man puts on things. And you realize, wow, that's the truth. Everything that comes from God is pure truth, and he defines humility for us. So what we want is to learn God's definition of humility. And in doing that, we can identify, oh, that's what humility is, and that's what I want to then pursue. So we need to understand what humility is. That's number one. That's the direct route of cultivating humility. The indirect route is to identify pride, to understand what pride really is and to unveil it. And you may think, well, I mean, pride's pretty easy. We all know what pride is. I promise you, you do not. I'm sure you and I understand some things about pride, and it's the more obvious things about pride. But pride is seductively deceptive. It manifests itself in many different ways that you and I would not even recognize it as pride if it wasn't for the Word of God to rightly divide for us what is pride and what is humility. And so it is really good that we would study pride, understand pride. Don't be afraid to understand pride. It should be just the opposite. You should be afraid to not understand pride, because then you and I are just prey for the enemy to use us and put us in positions of pride left and right because we're ignorant of it. We don't even know we're operating in pride. We need to go after pride, understand what it is so that we can identify it and then eliminate it from our lives. Now, the reason I say that is an indirect way of cultivating humility is because humility is the absence of pride. Or he could simply say it this way, pride, or the absence of pride, is humility. If you have no pride, see, when you are born again, Christ dwells in you. That means the humility of Christ is already in you. You and I are humble people. However, the enemy is at work in our lives, and our flesh has already been tainted by sin, so it has its own stuff. And between our flesh and the enemy wants to cover up all humility, cloaking it with his pride, shutting down the light of God's humility. So we need to understand what pride is, and if we can eliminate pride, then all that is left is the humility of God that dwells within us. So we need to identify both humility, what it is, pursue it, pride, identify it, and eliminate it. Today I'm going to spend a little bit more focus on pride in specific so that we can identify it. So let's start off as I have, and I think just about every teaching, I would like for us to go through a few scriptures so we can see God's word concerning pride. There are so many that I didn't want to bring, you know, all of them. So what I'm doing is each study, I'm bringing, you know, an additional half a dozen of these scriptures. So let's just go through a few real quick. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. And I'm going to move quickly. You might want to just write the address down. Don't bother trying to turn to them all because I'd rather you concentrate and listen. Louis's going to put them up on the board for you. So Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2 says this, when pride comes, then comes what? Shame. That's what pride will produce in your and my life. Write it down, take it to the bank, that's what it's going to produce in your and my life, shame. It'll bring shame to your marriage, it'll bring shame to your relationships at work, it'll bring shame on your life in general. Shame. But with the humble is what? Wisdom comes with walking in humility. This should help you to understand something that is a lie from the world's definition of humility. I don't know if you see this, but my understanding of the worldly definition of humility, you know, the one that we've pretty much all thought we knew what humility was, that definition. You know, the man with his head down, tail between his legs. There's also something that kind of goes with it. I don't know, maybe you don't see this, but I kind of see they're just kind of like not the smarter people in the earth either. You know, the really humble, they're kind of they're just a little bit more on the not so smart side. I mean, the wise people, I don't really see humility with wise people. I kind of see humility with the not so wise people. And yet God says the humble are the ones who actually possess true wisdom. They're the ones that possess wisdom. Proverbs 16:5 says this, everyone, what percentage of people would that be? Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. It's pretty heavy, isn't it? Proverbs 29, you know what I say to that when I read scriptures like that? Let it burn, baby, let it burn. Let it burn the junk out of your heart. I mean, when I read that, I say, ooh, Lord. I just say, let it burn. Let it work on me. I love it. It's a purifying fire. Let it burn. Proverbs 29:23, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. These are emphatic statements coming from the Lord. He's saying, if you're operating in pride, to whatever degree you're operating in pride, it will bring you low. Take it to the bank. Proverbs 16:18 says this, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Galatians 6:3, for if anyone thinks he is something, that's just another way of saying proud, to be prideful. When he is nothing, he deceives himself. And we talked a little bit last week about what it means to be nothing. Don't put a worldly nothingness on it. It's a beautiful nothing. Everything that we have, we've received. Everything. God says to us, if who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? The answer to that is nothing. So in yourself, then really you are what? Nothing. But we are not nothing in the eyes of God because he has given us so many gifts and talents, including himself. God dwells in us. We are the temple of God in the earth. How many of you know that's not nothing? That's pretty special. So when you read these verses like this, when it says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he's talking about when a person thinks they're something in and of themselves. I'm this, I am great. God says, really, you're nothing, but I have poured myself into you, which is what makes you great. But just like the example gave in the beginning, when Michelangelo makes a beautiful painting or a vase and he gives it to you and you set that up in your foyer and it's just absolutely gorgeous, and people walk in and they see that and they're like, oh, they're taken back, breath taken away looking at that. Should you be proud, prideful about it? No, you should be grateful that it's in your house. To be prideful would be stupid because what? You didn't make it. When there is beauty in us, that's a beautiful thing, and we should be grateful for all that God has given us, but not prideful concerning it. Because I didn't make myself and you didn't make you. God made us. Even the incredibleness of our human body, God made it. Everything about us, God made. All right, so now what I'm going to do, I'd like to show you some pictures. Remember I showed you some pictures of humility and pictures of pride. What I'm going to do right now is a little bit different. I'm going to show you some pictures depicting the fruit of pride. Now, I'm going to go down here because I kind of want to watch it up there as I'm going through this. This is going to be a little odd for those that are online because you're not going to be able to see all these. It's going to go silent for a little while. I'm just going to do a little slide presentation, and I want you to just watch this, if you would. Pictures depicting the fruit of pride. Proverbs 16:18, we already read this, says, pride goes before destruction. This is what pride produces. This is why God hates pride. This is what it produces. Only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. The pride of man. This is why God hates it. It has produced every war that we've ever experienced, every murder, every rape, every argument, every destructive force that has taken place in the human race comes as a result of pride. You saw this scripture earlier that says, that's not it. Only by pride cometh contention. I mentioned this last week that I was going to show you by scripture. Do you remember me saying that? That the word of God says literally every argument, every fight that happens between man is a result of pride. And this is the scripture, Proverbs 13:10. Now, I want you to know that most translations translate this differently. It says, by pride comes only contention. It puts the only with contention. Even, and I hate to say this, I hate to admit this, my faithful New King James translates this verse incorrectly. It puts the only with contention. Only the King James, I'm sure there are others, but of the major ones that most people know, NIV, New American Standard, NES, I don't know which ones I just named, New King James, they all say, by pride comes only contention. Only the King James says, only by pride comes contention. So then I looked up the original Hebrew on it to see what it, where the layout of the words. Only is next to pride. It is connected to pride. It goes with pride. It only goes with the pride. You cannot put it with contention. And then next to it, it has a direct translation of the Hebrew, just in case, you know, I'm misinterpreting that. I wanted to read the direct Hebrew translation, and it's only pride causeth contention. That's a Hebrew scholar translating it word for word in the order that it's written. So if you look at the original Hebrew, it is absolutely, there's only one way to translate it. The only word, the word only, goes with the word pride and can only go with pride. In addition to that, if you consider the other possibility that only pride, no, I mean pride, by pride only comes contention, it's not even true. I mean, it's easy to see that that's not the case. Pride, by pride only, by pride comes only contention. That would mean pride only produces one thing, and that is contentions, fighting, arguing, right? That's not true. Pride produces all kinds of other things. Pride, for example, will cause someone not to want to come up in front to talk to people because they're afraid of how people would perceive them. They're too worried about how people think about them, so they draw back. And it may not just be in this scenario, but in many ways, pride causes people to draw back because, you know, what will they think of me? Pride will produce all kinds of, we're going to go into several things that pride produces, but it'll also cause someone to not want to give credit to someone else or acknowledgement to someone else who's done well. They find themselves, I don't even want to be around a person who's wealthy, you know, like it bothers them that someone, their neighbor has more money than they do, or they have a nicer car, and so they really just kind of like shun them. Pride produces all kinds of bad reactions in us that have nothing to do with contention. On the other hand, and you look at, again, the original Hebrew where it only goes with pride, it is absolutely true. Only by pride cometh contention. In other words, if there is contention, if there is fighting, if there is this anger within us, only, it's only there, well, say it differently, 100% of the time when there is arguing, there is pride. 100% of the time. And that's what the scripture is saying, and that is the accurate translation of it. Only by pride cometh contention. Now, that's a, what's that? I wonder why. Derek's not here. Help. Boom. This is helpful, people. If we're really interested in attacking pride in our lives and eliminating it, let this help you. I'm letting it help me. If I find myself getting angry, if I want to, you know, get on somebody's case about something, I grab myself, I say, hey, I just learned something from the Word. This is pride, period, plain and simple. It doesn't mean there's not something wrong that needs to be addressed. But the attitude that's rising up in me, if it is anger and I want to attack, it is not of God. It is of the devil. It is demonic. According to James chapter 3, verse 14, it is demonic. It's coming from him. Only by pride cometh contention. So going back to where we left off, the pride of man. What is the pride of man? Why does God hate it? Why is it such an abomination to the Lord? The answer to that is, number one, because it is literally the nature of the devil. And if you want a scripture to back that up, there's actually many, but a really good one is James chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I think I said 14 before, but actually 15 is where it has the word demonic in it. James chapter 3, did I say that right? Okay, James 3, verse 14 and 15. God hates pride, for one, because it is literally the nature of Satan. Number two is because it is only destructive. It is pure destruction. Oh, I had that verse ready already. Okay, here's James chapter 3. Since I have it, we might as well read it. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, self-seeking is another word for pride. That's what pride is. Pride is self-seeking. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. In other words, no, this isn't pride, man. I'm just ticked because, he says, don't lie. Don't boast and lie against the truth. What is the truth? This so-called wisdom, when it says wisdom there, I looked it up. It can mean godly wisdom, but it also means worldly wisdom. And we know by context, this one's talking about this so-called worldly wisdom that you're operating in. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, it is sensual, and it is demonic. It is not of God. Let that burn it out of you. Humility, on the other hand, here's what humility says. I'll just let the pictures speak for themselves. This is what humility says. I just had to put it in there, man. It was too precious. This is what humility says. Why? Because humility is the nature of God. Literally, that's its source. That's where it comes from. What is humility? Where does humility come from? It comes from love. Humility is the greatest virtue of love. Love has many virtues. The greatest virtue of love is humility. Therefore, if you find yourself saying, you know what, I need to talk to my brother, and I'm going to tell him the truth about something. I'm going to tell him in love. Well, let me ask you something. And I'm asking myself this too. When I'm about to tell my brother something in love, if there is any element, if there is a trace of anything in there that is satisfying to my flesh, let it be known this is not humility. And therefore, it is not true love. It doesn't mean that this person doesn't need to be told something. But what it does mean that is if we're going to do it according to the scriptures, we need to check ourselves first, figure out what it is about us that is going to be satisfied by this, and set that aside. We need to address ourselves first. Jesus said, we are not to judge one another. If you judge a brother who has a splinter in his eye, and look, you have a log in yours, right? Does he say not to speak to your brother? Many people think that's what that verse says. That's not what it says. It says, first, what? Take the log out of your eye. Get the log out of your eye. Then you will what? See clearly to speak to your brother. When we have pride operating in us, you don't understand, we are dangerous when we're in that state and we want to go talk to our brother. We're dangerous. We're going to do damage. You should have the red light should be going off. When there's anger going on inside of you and you're going to go speak to your brother, know this. We are operating under the influence of someone who is not God. We are operating under the influence of the enemy. And therefore, what's going to happen is damage. There's going to be a lot of cleanup. That's exactly right. We are going to produce damage. Know that. If you know that, guess what? You become wise. You're like, hey, this, I don't care how bad my husband, my wife, my boss, my coworker, my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad needs to hear this. I don't care how bad they need to hear it. they're not going to hear it from me until I get myself in check. Because I'm making myself an instrument of the enemy, and I will not do that. This is what we should be saying to ourselves. I will get myself under the presence of God. I will bring myself into check. And when we do that, we can then go to our brother, our sister, and speak to them in love. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to say it 1,000 times better. And you and I are going to feel 1,000 times better afterwards. You know, we get it in check. We go, hey, yeah, okay. So they messed up in this area. Let me see. First of all, have I ever messed up? There's a good start right there. Let's just remind ourselves about ourselves. You know, when that person cuts you off on the freeway and you want to lay into them and you lay into them in the horn, just ask yourself, have I ever cut anybody else off? Like when you were in a hurry, maybe it was a serious deal. Maybe you had to get to the hospital. Maybe you're running to the ER. Maybe you were late for church. And you know what? You judge yourself by your intentions. Yeah, but I'm in a hurry. This, you know. But we judge other people by their actions. We should do exactly the opposite. We should judge ourselves by our actions and others by the intent. You know, I know they said that, but I also know that they're hurting right now. And when we do something, even though we may be hurting and we do something, we should say to ourselves, hey, it doesn't matter how I'm feeling. What I just did was wrong. Period. End of story. I need to apologize. We should judge ourselves by our actions and others by their intention. And we will be so much further ahead. But we always do the exact opposite. You know what? All I know is I saw what you did. Or I heard what you said. We just judge them by their action. We don't even care about anything behind that. The Lord taught me that a long time ago. I think I mentioned this last week when I was messing up again. Like multiple times on this one particular issue. And that day the Lord was particularly good to me. And I came home and I fell on my face and I was just crying out before God. God, I said to him, why are you so good to me? He spoke to me right then. And he said, because I understand. And he gave to me with that word, and if you understood like I understood, you too would have patience like I have with everybody else. But we lack patience because we don't understand. And we're never going to be like God where we understand all things. So just take this on. We should all just try and take this on. Listen, I know this person just acted out, but what I also know is that I don't understand everything that's behind that. And if I did, chances are I wouldn't even be angry. In fact, I would just want to hug him right now. And just let that cool the fire and just speak to them out of love. Humility is the very nature of God. It is the air that heaven breathes. It is the greatest virtue of love. All love flows with humility. If humility is not with it, it's not love. They're inseparable. It's like trying to separate wet from water. Not going to happen. Humility and love. Humility is a virtue of love. Now, you may say, well, all anger, I just thought about a thought you might have had. Only by pride comes contention. And therefore, I said, every time you see anger, 100% of the time, there is pride. There is an exception to that. The Bible talks about a righteous anger. I just now thought about that. For those who, I think I perceived someone's thought, he's wrong. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Staying up here in pride. I am not. No, there is a righteous anger. But unless you're walking incredibly close with the Lord, you're rarely ever operating in that one. So just know, if it's anger, it's probably not that one. So just go with what I've been... Yeah, exactly. Yes. No, there is a righteous anger, but you know what? It's never because someone's doing anything to you. Righteous anger is because you see someone else doing something to someone else that is going to hurt that person and especially draw them away from God. That's why it becomes a righteous anger that says, that is not okay. You need to stop what you're doing right now. It's not a self-defense. It's not a self-preservation. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with someone else hurting someone else. And it may not even be separating them from God, but it's just someone else hurting someone else. And you want to step in to help, you know. Even then, there's a place where there could be a righteous anger mixed with a prideful anger. So, you know. But as a whole, just know if we're operating, if there's anger going on, it's most likely the wrong kind. So, let me move on a little bit because I'm taking too long on this. There's something else I want to get into. I'm going to give you another aspect of humility that we have not yet talked about. So even though I'm primarily focusing on pride, it's hard to not talk about both every time I'm teaching because they have these opposites, you know. Humility is a place of rest. This is another aspect of humility you really want to know. It is so beautiful. When you and I, when we are operating in true humility, by the way, I want to say we all the time, especially during this teaching. So when I'm not saying we, please understand, I have been so enjoying this study. I mean, I'm soaking it up. On my way to church today, I was praying. Not that I was intending to tell you guys this, but I was praying in my car, and I was saying, Lord, yes, 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 I ask you, I beg you, I give you permission, whatever you need, speak to me about pride in my life. Reveal pride in my life. Now, it takes guts to pray that prayer. It took, at least for me, it took me a little while to stir myself up into praying that a few days ago. I started finding myself, I need to, like, ask his help. I'm beginning to identify more and more, and then, you know, I had a light bulb come on. Hey, how about asking God to help you out? He can help you identify a whole bunch more you're not seeing. And at first I was like, ooh, I don't know if I want to pray that prayer. Lord, identify pride in my life. And so I didn't. I'm like, I'm not quite there yet. But then I just sat there and started working. I started thinking about it. I was like, well, how bad do you want pride out of your life? What exactly is pride doing that's in your life? And I started thinking about the absolute destructive force of it. And how not only is it destructive to my own life, not only am I being destructive to other people's lives, but I am robbing myself of the very presence of God to the degree I could have it. And it changed my whole life. I was like, Lord, bring it on. Show it to me. Because you know the other thing about the Lord showing it to you? He's so sweet about it. Son, that was pride. You know, I mean, it's just kind of how it feels when he does it. He hugs you. That was pride. Get it out. The second thing the Lord ever spoke to me in my life after I got saved. The second thing he said to me, you have unforgiveness in your heart. It's not of me. Get it out. Just like that. You have unforgiveness in your heart. It's not of me. Get it out. Unforgiveness is a fruit of pride. It's one of the fruits of it. The Lord said nothing else. He didn't need to tell me who, anything. He didn't need to say who, what, when, where, or why. All he said was, you have unforgiveness in your heart. It's not of me. Get it out. I was in Millington, Tennessee. The guy that I had unforgiveness in my heart towards was in Jacksonville, Florida. The Lord spoke to me so strongly. I packed my bags the next morning, got in a car. I drove 15 hours nonstop. And this guy named Dick, I can't even remember his last name right now, he opened the door, and he looked like he saw a ghost. He turned white when he saw me. Because I had already told him several times, if he doesn't pay me back, he ripped me off for 10 grand. And I said, if you don't pay me back before I see you, I will take it out of your flesh. I mean, that's, you know, I was in the world. I didn't know the Lord at all. And I was just, I mean, I was serious as could be about it too. I was going to tear him up. And he opens the door and he's like flushed white and he saw me. And I said, hey man, it's all good. I'm just here to tell you that I totally forgive you. It's all good. And he just looked at me and he goes, did you get saved or something? Literally, it's what he said to me. I said, as a matter of fact. He said, wow. He serves. I said, yeah, man, it's good. And the Lord spoke to me and told me to deal with this. He said, well, do you want to come in? I said, sure. So he brought me in. We started talking. He said, man, I keep telling you, I didn't steal that money. And I said, seriously? He goes, yeah, Don stole it. He told me who stole it. And I was like, Don, and Don was my partner. This guy wasn't our partner. He's saying, I know, I'm kind of getting off trail over here. And I thought about it, and it struck my heart like, Don. And then I went, ah, I forgive him too. And it just, you know, I mean, the Lord just, but the way he said it to me, you have unforgiveness in your heart. It's not of me. Get it out. There wasn't conviction. There wasn't condemnation. It was just, hey, that's junk in your heart. And I was like, yeah, Lord, you know, and this is what happens when the Lord shows us pride. He's saying, look, there's some more garbage the enemy stuffed into you. Get it out, get it out, get it out. Do you know what? The more space I create by getting pride out means the more space I have for grace. Because the Lord gives grace to the who? So let's just make it a decision amongst ourselves. Let's make space for grace. Mm-hmm. Say, I want to make space for grace. That means we got to get pride out. So if we invoke the Lord's help and say, Lord, help me identify pride in my life. I want to get it out. I want to get all the pride out. It'll make space for grace. I get more grace and more grace and more grace. 2 Peter, I think it is, chapter 1. You know, my favorite verses. I forget which one, first or second. Verses 1 through 4. Is that second or it is second? Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of him. All right? So that tells us what? Grace can be multiplied through the knowledge of him. So as we learn more about God, and one of the things we're learning right now about God is he doesn't like pride and he wants it out. That's part of learning about God. Oh, I just learned something about the Lord. He doesn't like pride. In fact, he hates it. In fact, he thinks it's an abomination. He wants it out of my life. And then I start to do that, I get more grace. Grace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of, you could say it this way, in the knowledge of the Word and what it teaches. Because the Word is God and God is the Word. I really wanted to share with you some really incredible things about pride that I didn't even get to. I'm just going to give you the headlines of them real quick, and then I'm going to go back into this next week. I want to take a few minutes right now in closing and identify pride. Remember I said we all think we know what pride is, and I promise you that probably about 97% of its manifestations you and I don't even realize is pride. I mean, if we really thought about it, we'd go, oh, yeah, I guess that is. But it would be like that. It'd be like, you know, a second thought. Like, we didn't realize, oh, I guess when I do that, I guess that is pride. You know what I mean? So this is just to help bring it up. Now, these are just some more obvious things that, one, I was listening to a message by this other guy, and I was like, oh, that's good. So I took a bunch of notes, and I'm just going to share with you some of his notes. And then I sewed a lot more of mine in here, too. So anyhow, here they are. Number one. Pride always, now this is the big one. This is the one that encompasses so much to it. Pride always wants to exalt itself. Always wants to exalt self. Do we find ourselves always wanting to talk about ourselves when we're with others? This is a sign of pride. Humility, true humility, doesn't need to talk about itself. It really has no need. It can sit in a group of people and everyone's talking about themselves and all their great accomplishments and all that, and humility is just tickled to life just to be there with people and just to love on them, to see into their lives, to want to be there for them. True humility, it's not even thinking about itself. It has no need to talk about itself. Pride always wants to talk about itself. Are you, or am I... always wanting to impress. This is something the Lord started showing me years ago. He just, you know the Lord, he's so beautiful. He just puts his finger on, this is something, another thing the Lord taught me. He always puts his finger on one thing in your life. I am positive I could ask every one of you right now, what's that one thing the Lord has his finger on in your life? And you all know what it is. He's so gracious in that way. He doesn't put his finger on 10 things. He puts his finger on one. It's the prominent thing he wants addressed in your life. And there was just this time when he put his finger on this one thing. Brad, I don't want you to do anything to impress anybody. Don't do anything. You know, those subtle things. I don't know. Give me one of them.
Are you great
accents? Yeah. Yes. By the way, that reminded me. What do you think of my new do? My asset here. Oh, good. Did you say accents or assets? I thought you said assets. You said accents. Oh, quite rare. That's good. By the way, this is the artmanship of our own Guy Adams. Thank you very much. yes, our accents. You know, like when you're listening to that teaching on your iPod, maybe you can't be on your phone if someone calls. You have it on TV, you have that sermon going, you're listening to a good word, and the phone rings, and you decide not to mute the TV just yet, you know, so when you're talking, they can hear that you're listening to the word. Oh, yeah, let me pause that. Hang on a minute. Yeah. You know, that name dropping, oh, yeah, well, I had lunch with so-and-so the other day. I mean, yeah, I know he's the president of that big company. But anyhow, I just had lunch with him. You know, what these little things that we do to impress, that's pride. Pure and simple. Pride. Now, I told you I wasn't going to get into all these, and so I'm already... Yes. I have about 12 more on that one. I'm missing all those. I'm going to number two. Number two, pride is not interested. Now, this is similar, but it's different. Pride is not interested in others, only in self. Result, here's just some of the results of that. Pride is not a good listener. Pride is a terrible listener. Pride, not only is a terrible listener, pride is an interrupter. If we find ourselves interrupting people a lot, that's pride, pure and simple. I know that hurts. I know we're all taking a sting right now. Ooh, oh, yeah. This is why it's really good to just identify, because then when you find yourself interrupting, oh, you know what? It is, because pride doesn't care about what the other person has to say. Pride believes that it's only what I have to say that's important. So can you just, come on. What anyhow, listen. We just want to get in there. We got to say what we have to say. And so pride interrupts. Humility is just like all ears. I want to hear what this person has to say, because humility cares about the other person. It wants to know their heart. It wants to really understand, because maybe somehow, somewhere in here, I can help. Maybe God would use me to help this person. And so they're all ears. Humility. Humble people make great listeners. Prideful people make terrible listeners. And they interrupt. Okay, I have more into that. Not going to finish it. Going to the next one. Number three, pride always tries to be different. Pride wants to be different. Well, you know, I guess I'm just different in that area, you know, and we want to advertise our difference. You know, we're just, and really what we're saying is there's a superiority part that goes with my difference. I'm just different. There's not too many people like me. Well, first of all, what percentage of the people on this earth do you actually even know? One fraction of 1%. How do you know you're not the same as many millions of other people? How do we know that we're actually different? Second of all, news break, you're really not that different. We're really not that different. It's only pride that wants to insist that we are very different. Now, granted, we are different, but it would take God to understand the difference. It's so minute. You know, about the only thing that's different on us is our face print and our fingerprint. All temptations, it says in 2 Corinthians 10:13, are common to man. Even the temptations you and I have gone through that we think is so unique, no one else has gone through what I've gone through. God says all temptations are common to man. In other words, the devil doesn't have any new tricks for you. He's done the same thing to you as he's done to 14 billion other people. We're really not that different. Now, don't mix that up with special. You are incredibly unique and special to God. Very special to God. I'm not just trying to make up for it. That's reality. You are precious in his eyes. But you know, this whole big difference thing we just try and do, it's just pride. Number four, this will be the last one. Pride does not want to be taught or corrected. I kind of mentioned this in an earlier teaching, but I wanted to bring it up again because it's worthy of it. Pride does not want to be taught or corrected. It only wants to teach and to correct. It loves to correct and it loves to teach, but it does not want to be taught. Humility, on the other hand, knows that it knows very little and it therefore is continually wanting to learn. Pride is, it really will make you dumber than a box of rocks. It convinces you, you know so much, you're just at a stage in your life where you just need to be sharing with others. You know, I mean, you don't really need to learn a whole lot more. You just need to share with the wealth of knowledge that you have. And the reality is we're dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, we know a little bit. I mean, very little. Do you realize how much knowledge there is out there and how much of it you and I don't possess? We know so little. I'm sorry, I don't mean to like really deflate your bubble, but I really want to deflate your and my pride bubble. That's all pride. It's just pride that makes up this world that doesn't even exist. It's a deception. Humility sees everything accurately. It doesn't know all things. It just gets the big picture. The big picture is, I actually know very little. I'm really not much different than other people on the earth. And, you know, there's millions of people who have a whole lot more talent and skill sets than I have. And they're better looking than I am. They're, you know, they know more about so many more. I mean, it's just like, cool. I'm cool with that. Humility just, it is acutely circumspect. It sees all the way around. It understands that there's all these people around me that are much more talented than I am and everything else. And it just says, awesome. Let them run the earth, man. That's great. I need help. I can't run this thing, you know. It's like there's comfort in it, actually. When you get out of the pride, there's tremendous comfort in humility. You know what pride is? Pride, you got to, you know, you got to build just this image of yourself up, and then it's going to constantly want to go down. I mean, you got to build it back up, and you got to maintain this persona. It's a lot of work, and the whole thing's a lie, and it's pure bondage. Humility is like, let her go, baby, let her go. I am nothing, I know nothing, but I have God. And God and me is a majority. I'm good, but I'm good because of him in my life. I'm good because he's given me what I need, and life is good. Humility is completely, has cast itself into the loving hands of God. A person who is humble has committed themselves entirely to the hands of God and is safe. Totally safe. People can say all that they want to say about you and me if we're walking in humility, and it's almost like really what will happen. I've been here. I've tasted of it. All right, I can speak a little bit from experience. There was a season of my life that was so incredible. I was really flowing in this. I'm really drawing a lot from that. And I'm working hard now to get back there. So I'm not telling you I'm there, but if it's okay for me to say, I was there to a large degree for a good season of time. There is a place when you're walking in true humility, you can come under enormous attack. And in this one particular case, I'll just go ahead and tell you this in closing. I was in a small church. I was teaching the same kind of stuff I teach today about the blessings of God and the goodness of God. And I was just preaching the goodness of God. And there were some people there that did not believe in that. They really believed in the wrath of God against all sin and all this kind of stuff, so they hated me. The majority of the church thought I was like a breath of fresh air, bringing this kind of teaching. They hadn't had it. They were loving it. There was a group of people who hated it. Well, they kind of had some real pull and clout in the church, and they stirred the whole church up against me. And after a while, they swayed them all, and they all began to just like hate me. And I was just like being crucified by the people there, and I decided, well, there's no point in staying. I'm just leaving. And the Lord spoke to me the day I made the decision to leave, and he said, did you ask me if it was okay to go? And I was like, wow, never even thought about that. And I was like, no, can I go? No. And he made me stay there another 6 months. And I stayed there, but I was okay with it. I just felt like, well, they don't want to hear my teaching. I wasn't leaving out of, well, the heck with you. I was like, well, if they're not going to receive, Lord, what's the point? You know? And I was cool, but I was just going to leave. And the Lord said no. So I stayed, and they were just attacking me. Honestly, I can tell you this with God as my witness. I don't say that very often. I rarely say that term. I'm telling you, I had nothing but compassion for them. That's literally what poured out of my heart. Every time they attacked me, I was like, this is what happened to my heart. You're a blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, can I hug you? I didn't say that. I'm saying that's what was in my heart. I just wanted to hug them. I was so taken care of by God's love for me. I was good. I was filled up. And the idea of man who is just so nothing to God, including me, I'm nothing. To have a nothing speak against me when the everything says I'm great. It was just like literally the proverbial water off a duck's back. And I just wanted to hug him because I saw for you to act like that, you've got to be hurting. Something's wrong. Can I help you? That was my attitude. I didn't even know it. I mean, I was just like, I was floating in this place. It was so beautiful. This visitor came. She's in the back of the church. I'm in the worship band. I'm playing the congas up there. Yeah, we had congas in our worship. It was really cool. And she had this vision, open-eyed vision. She saw this cross, and the cross is laying on the ground. And there was this man on the cross. Of course, she knew it had, obviously it must be Jesus. And it was during worship. She just had this big open-eyed vision. She's kind of like, wow. And then the cross came up. And when the cross came up, the guy that was up there playing the congas was the guy on the cross. That was me. I was up there playing the congas, right? And she sees me on the cross. She doesn't know when it's first day at this church. She doesn't know me from Adam. She knows nothing that's going on. And she says, not only was it me on the cross, I had a big smile on my face. I'm nailed to the cross. I'm like, hee! This big old smile. And she said, and the Lord spoke to her and said, tell him that it's his praise before me that's keeping him protected from the assaults of the enemy, and that he should maintain his praise and he will maintain protected. That's what she told me. So she came up later and told me that. And I was like, wow. And I remembered in my prayer time, and I would always just put on the whole armor of God, and I would start swinging the sword. I would do this literally, physically, in the name of Jesus. And I'd start going in tongues, shadoboria rakata, shaborakata. And I would just be praying, and I would kind of picture these two rows of demons, you know, and I would just be chopping off the heads on both sides, you know. And I was just going at it. And she came up, she tells me this vision. She said, and I just saw you in the spirit, Brad, just like this. You were like slinging this sword. She did it in the exact motion I do it in my prayer. It was really cool. So anyhow, the point is, there's a place for us to walk in when we are so enraptured with God's love. It doesn't matter what people say. They could attack me, and there wasn't pride in me to rise up. I was saturated in how much I knew God loved me and that he had me. I'm like, man, God's on my side. He's got me. The only reason we get upset when people attack us is because we are taking care of ourselves. And so now I've got to guard against your assaults, your attack. But I had surrendered that to God, and he was my protector. And so when they attacked me, I was like, wow, that's dangerous. You don't want to do that. I'm thinking, you know, God's got me. You don't want to attack. You know what I mean? And it's true of you and me too. If we give ourselves into the hands of God, then suddenly he becomes your protector. Mm-hmm. Amen. Wow. That last 20 minutes is like, at least for me, probably not for you. I thought that was like 3 more minutes, man. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Okay. Praise God. If anyone would like prayer for anything, like maybe recognizing pride in your life, no, just teasing. But you can get prayer for that as well. Yes, all of those of you who have pride in your life, come up and we're going to pray. No, if you would like prayer for anything, we are here for you. We'd love to pray for you. Let's pray over that seed that went forth today that it would be sealed. Father, we pray your blessing on the word we've heard today, that it would be sealed to our heart, that it would not be lost. I pray that sealing by your Spirit right now, that it would bring forth abundant fruit in our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.